Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine an artist whose identity is, well, a total mystery. Yet their work sells for millions, sparks these huge global debates, and, you know, even influences major social conversations. That's Banksy. It's this fundamental paradox. The world's most famous, most valuable, yet completely anonymous artist. How does that even happen?
It's a really captivating question, isn't it? And what's truly fascinating here is how Banksy kind of embodies a crucial tension in the art world, you know, between rebellion and market value, anonymity and global fame. So our mission today is to take a deep dive into this elusive world. We'll explore his origins, his most iconic works, why his art commands such high value, and maybe most importantly, how he's reshaped the entire art world perception of street art. We really want to understand how these competing forces play out for you, the viewer, or the collector, or maybe just the curious observer.
And you've given us some fantastic material to work with here to try and understand this whole cultural phenomenon. We've got a stack of articles, including one on his top artworks and some interesting facts, and another digging into how graffiti artists are changing perceptions. So yeah, it's clear there's so much more to Banksy than just, you know, a spray can and a stencil.
Yeah.
The start of it all, Banksy in Bristol. That's particularly telling, isn't it? It kind of grounds the myth in a very specific cultural moment. He started out there in Bristol, a city already known for its vibrant street art scene, part of the Dry Bread Z crew.
Yeah, the Dry Bread Z crew, a pioneering Bristol graffiti collective. And he adopted his now famous pseudonym specifically to avoid arrest for criminal damage. I mean, that was the legal status of street art back then.
Right, of course. So it really set the stage for his anonymity from the very beginning.
Precisely. And this early period, it was formative not just for the anonymity, but for his whole artistic identity and technique, too. His politically charged approach was heavily influenced by the French graffiti artist Blec Lerat.
Oh, yeah. Blec Lerat.
Yeah.
Pioneer of stencil art, right. Mm-hmm. Known for the rats and the political stuff.
Exactly. And Banksy himself, he actually admitted he was quite crap at freehand painting with a spray can. So he developed his signature stencil technique, partly out of necessity, you could say. This preformed idea method, using stencils for really rapid execution, it also reflected his developing ideas about, you know, the power of the establishment and how to disrupt it. Quick, impactful messages in public spaces.
Huh. It's kind of an example of a practical limitation leading to real artistic innovation.
It really is.
That's a crucial insight, how a personal limitation became a stylistic signature. And then as his career really started to take off, he made that strategic move to London, the busier streets there and the press attention. It just amplified his message, didn't it?
Absolutely.
And partnering with the photographer, Steve Lazarides, who became his agent and publicist. That seems like a key, almost commercial step.
It was vital, definitely. Bridging that gap between the street and the gallery, even if maybe that wasn't the original intention, it transformed him from just a local graffiti artist into something much bigger.
You're right. And it's fascinating because the London era pushed Banksy to refine the meaning behind his artwork even further. He started taking direct aim at globalization, corporate greed, that sort of thing. His pieces, still created, you know, on the fly and essentially illegally, they just pop up in the most unexpected public locations.
Yeah, constantly satirizing corporatism, mm-hmm. big brands, or maybe just what he saw as poor ideas in society. The method itself was a statement, like a guerrilla attack on the visual landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And his philosophy has always been art for the people, right? Not for galleries, which he famously said were for the trinkets of millionaires.
That's the line, yes.
Which creates quite the tension then, doesn't it? That many of his works ultimately do end up in galleries, and they are bought by those very collectors he seemed to be criticizing. The irony there is, well, it's certainly not lost on the art world. Or on Banksy himself, I imagine. Definitely not. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, Banksy's impact quickly moved beyond just London, especially once his art became a vehicle for really sharp political commentary. One of his most famous international targets, for example, was the controversial West Bank Wall in the Middle East.
Right, the stencils there criticizing Israeli involvement in Palestine. That sparked a huge debate.
A fierce debate, yeah.
Yeah.
About the wall's role, its legitimacy. By doing this illegal act on an illegal wall, as one source puts it, Banksy almost certainly hoped to provoke that exact discussion. What's truly insightful here is how his choice of location, highly visible, politically charged it, amplified the message of his stencils. It turned the act of art into this undeniable political statement.
It forced media and public attention not just on the artwork, but directly onto the wall itself and all the narratives around it.
Exactly. This is where he truly blurs that line between artist and activist, challenging the legal and moral authority behind structures like that wall.
That whole transformation, though, from anti-establishment protests to multi-million dollar art, it's quite a journey. And it's this very tension between his anti-establishment roots and his undeniable market appeal that defines so much of Banksy's enduring legacy. To really grasp the scale of this, we probably need to look at some specific pieces. Pieces that haven't just pushed boundaries artistically, but have also commanded just astonishing value. We've got a fantastic list here of his most famous and expensive works. Let's maybe dive into some of the ones that really highlight this spectacle and value.
Okay, yeah. A perfect starting point has to be Love is in the Bin.
Yeah.
Which, of course, started life as Girl with Balloon.
Oh, absolutely. This piece just perfectly encapsulates the spectacle.
It really does.
So at a 2018 auction, Redditor sells for what, $1.4
million
USD?
Mm-hmm, $1.4
million. It partially shredded itself. There was this hidden mechanism inside the frame. The art world was genuinely stunned. It made global news.
Total shock.
And the owner, instead of being, you know, upset, resold the renamed piece Love is in the Bin in 2021 for an incredible 16 million pound GBP.
16 million pounds? Astonishing.
It truly became one of his most thought-provoking works, didn't it? Perfectly blending art, performance, and market value. It almost feels like the act of shredding actually increased its value.
Oh, it absolutely did. That transformation is key. The piece itself became a commentary on commodification. But, you know, not all his high-value pieces are purely stunts like that. Consider Game Changer.
Oh, yes, the one for the hospital.
Right. It demonstrates a really genuine charitable intent. He donated this black and white sketch to Southampton General Hospital back in May 2020. It was a direct tribute to healthcare workers during the pandemic. It depicts a boy playing with a doll in a Red Cross nursing uniform, sort of suggesting these workers are the true modern heroes.
Really touching piece.
It was.
Yeah.
And then it was sold at Christie's in March 2021 for 14.4 million GBP. All the proceeds benefited University Hospital Southampton.
That's incredible. Using art for such direct social benefit. But for you, what's the key difference between Banksy just donating a piece and then it being auctioned for such a massive sum? Does that transformation from direct donation to multi-million pound sale, does it change the perception of his charitable intent at all?
It's a complex layer, isn't it? On one hand, the initial donation is clearly an act of goodwill, no question. The subsequent auction, however, it amplifies the financial impact of that goodwill significantly. I mean, it allowed for a much larger contribution to the hospital than just selling the sketch directly, perhaps. The paradox here is that the art market, which Banksy often critiques, becomes the very engine for his philanthropy.
Right.
So it doesn't necessarily diminish his intent, I don't think, but it definitely highlights how even an anti-capitalist artist sometimes has to navigate the market to achieve certain large-scale social impacts. It kind of forces us, and maybe you the listener, to question if the means justify the ends in the art world.
That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of powerful social commentary, devolved parliament. That's another masterclass in satire.
Oh, the chimpanzees in parliament. Yeah.
Exactly. This massive 4 meter wide oil painting, UK House of Commons, but all the politicians are replaced by chimpanzees. It sold for 9.9 million GBP. And Banksy himself, quite characteristically, criticized the high price on his Instagram. He used a quote from the art critic Robert Hughes, saying something like, "The price of a work of art is now part of its function. Its new job is to sit on the wall and get more expensive."
Classic Banksy. It's a powerful self-critique, almost like he's mocking the very market that values his work so highly, the artist biting the hand that feeds him, in a way.
Yeah.
And if we look at the intersection of art and commerce from another angle, we see new technologies starting to influence the art market too. This raises an important question. How do these innovations influence the art market, and how does that affect you, maybe as a collector or just an enthusiast? We saw this with Love is in the Air.
The one with the protester throwing flowers?
That's the one. It sold for $12.9 million USD at Sotheby's in 2021, and notably, they accepted cryptocurrency Ether and Bitcoin as payment.
Ah, right. That was a big deal.
It was, and the price more than doubled its expected value. Maybe partly due to the extra publicity, maybe the new accessibility through crypto payments. It's certainly, well, democratized, or at least diversified, the payment process for a high-value piece.
It definitely changes the game for who can participate and how. Mm. And beyond these really headline-grabbing pieces, he has so many others that just resonate, don't they? Like, Show Me the Monet. That fetched 7.5 million pounds. It's such a brilliant environmental commentary.
Taking Monet's iconic water lilies and just polluting the pond with shopping carts and traffic cones.
Yeah. It's a clear, visually arresting statement about consumerism and environmental degradation. So simple, so effective.
And then there's Salins Today, which sold for $4.3 million. That's another classic stencil. Shows a group of ancient, kind of robed figures worshiping a giant sail end sign.
Huh? A sharp, almost cynical critique of modern consumer culture, equating shopping with religious devotion.
His ability to take instantly recognizable imagery and just inject it with this biting social commentary, it's pretty much unparalleled.
He truly has a knack for that.
Yeah.
And even his early iconic works hold immense value, like Laugh Now.
Ah, the monkey with the sandwich board.
Yeah. Laugh now, but one day we'll be in charge. That sold for £2.4 million. It's almost prophetic or melancholic, still holds relevance today. And we could mention others from that top list. Forgive Us Our Trespassing, the collaborative stained glass piece. That was $6.3 million. Subject to availability, a climate change warning, £4.5 million. And original concept for Barely Legal Poster, the Demi Moore parody, $2.6 million. Each one a statement, each one a sensation.
And beyond these individual pieces, Banksy has undertaken some truly ambitious large-scale projects. Stuff that extends his art into these immersive experiences. Take Dismaland, for example, back in 2015.
Right, the B Museum Park.
Exactly. This temporary art project, it transformed a disused Lido in Weston-super-Mare into this sinister twist on Disneyland. He funded it himself, featured 58 artists plus 10 new works from Banksy.
It was almost like an anti-theme park, as you said.
Yeah.
And the public reaction was just enormous. Over 150,000 people visited in just 5 weeks, right? People queued for hours.
Yeah, they did. Eager to experience this darkly satirical world.
And remarkably, all the fixtures and timber from the site, they were later sent to a refugee camp in Calais, which gave the whole project this powerful philanthropic afterlife.
Precisely. It wasn't just art for art's sake. It was this deeply immersive, critical experience, but with a tangible social outcome, too. And he followed that up in 2017 with the Waldorf Hotel in Bethlehem.
Ah, yes, the hotel with the worst view.
That's the one. Banksy funded this art gallery and hotel. Rooms designed by various artists, including himself. It's a fully functional public hotel, but the rooms intentionally offer the worst view, looking directly at the controversial wall opposite the building. It's a deeply immersive experience and a commentary in itself, turning a barrier into a focal point for discussion, even tourism.
And what about the actual impact of that? Did people really stay there? Did it truly spark the conversations he intended? Or did it just become another sort of grim tourist attraction despite his intentions?
Well, it absolutely became a functioning hotel, yes. And critically, a global talking point. The whole concept ensures that guests, often tourists, literally confront the reality of the wall every time they look out their window. It forces a different kind of engagement, moving beyond just a visual experience to an embodied one. It's a really powerful act of protest through hospitality, actually. It prompts you, the visitor, to engage with the political landscape directly. It's a testament to how his art isn't just about images, but about creating situations that provoke thought and action.
Hmm, that's compelling.
And his broader charitable efforts are significant, too, beyond just Game Changer. We saw his Mediterranean Sea View set 3 paintings sold at auction to buy children's rehabilitation equipment and fund an acute stroke unit for a hospital in Bethlehem. Banksy consistently applies his art for direct social benefit. It really prompts you to consider art's social role, its responsibility, perhaps, moving beyond just critique to tangible change.
And he often uses animals in his artwork, doesn't he? Sometimes controversially, he considers himself an animal activist.
Right. We've seen painted elephants, the iconic rats, of course, cows, sheep, all used to make statements about poverty, water scarcity, other social issues.
It certainly gets people talking. Sometimes generates headlines just for the sheer audacity of it.
And he even created counterfeit currency, the die-faced tenors, back in 2004.
Oh, yeah, Princess Diana on the 10-pound notes.
Exactly, instead of the queen. He distributed them at a festival. People picked them up, thought they'd found money, only to find they couldn't spend them. Now, those individual notes sell for over £1,000 each online. One's even held by the British Museum.
Wow.
It's just a perfect example of his blend of art, satire, and social commentary, blurring the lines of legality and value, transforming something mundane into this collectible piece of rebellious art history.
It's truly astonishing how this artist remains anonymous. Despite the global fame, millions of social media followers, constant speculation, the mystery is undeniably part of the allure, isn't it? He's reportedly only ever been caught once, way back in the 1990s in New York. led to 40 hours in prison and a fine. That's quite a track record for someone so prolific and disruptive.
That continued anonymity, especially now in the age of pervasive surveillance, is a huge part of his brand, a massive part. However, it is worth noting that not everyone considers him a pure graffiti artist.
Ah, the stencil debate.
Exactly. Some critics and other artists like Rob Orember, who he had that famous art war with, they've deemed his stencil work a kind of sellout because it's not traditional freehand graffiti, which highlights this fascinating internal debate within the street art community itself about authenticity, commercialism, and the very definition of graffiti versus street art. And that leads us right back to the ultimate paradox. Banksy, the anti-capitalist, sells better at auction than almost any other artist. There was an analysis from January 2021 showing, 127 individual Banksy artworks sold for over $100,000 USD, compared to 76 Picasso pieces and 84 Warhol pieces in a similar period.
The numbers are staggering.
It's such a rapid increase in value,
yeah,
and a testament to the market just embracing his many pieces, despite his ideological stances. But while that value is astounding, some critics might argue, doesn't this commercialization ultimately dilute the anti-establishment message he's known for? What's your take? Does a multi-million dollar price tag, even when it goes to charity, fundamentally change the conversation around art for the people?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Or the 16-million-pound question, perhaps. The very fact that his art, intended for public spaces, often critiquing consumerism, now commands these prices in exclusive auction houses. It creates this profound irony. It really highlights how even rebellion can be commodified in our society.
Yeah.
And while his original message might remain intact in the image itself, the context in which you consume that piece certainly changes dramatically. The art for the people message, it definitely becomes complicated when a piece is behind bulletproof glass in some private collection. It forces us, and you, to consider the shifting boundaries of art, activism, and market forces. Where do they intersect? Where do they collide?
So, okay, why is his art so incredibly valuable then? What are the key factors?
Well, I think there are several contributing factors. It goes beyond just, you know, pure artistic merit. Firstly, his message is usually very clear, often provocative, whether it's anti-war, revolutionary, anti-corporate, anti-government. It makes people sit up and take notice. He taps into these universal anxieties and political frustrations.
Okay, the message.
Secondly, his versatility and his unique approach, like the shredding stunt we talked about, that makes each piece an event. It transforms an object into an experience. The Love is in the Bin incident wasn't just about a painting. It was a performance that disrupted the entire auction process.
Right. The spectacle itself adds value.
Absolutely. Thirdly, his global appeal. It attracts tourism. It fuels philanthropic efforts. It builds his profile far beyond just the traditional art world. When he creates something in Bethlehem, it's not just local news. It's instantly international news.
Okay.
Fourthly, he's a master of what Guy Debord called the society of the spectacle, where value is achieved through the attention gained. Banksy understands how to manipulate media and public interest to generate maximum impact. His art becomes a talking point before it's even fully understood sometimes.
Makes sense.
And then finally, the anonymity factor itself. It fuels curiosity, potential future value. It makes him truly unique among famous artists. Not knowing who he is creates this endless speculation, an almost mythological aura around the work. And critically, his connection to the internet, widespread photography, social media sharing, it ensures massive reach and interest, connecting his artistry to a truly global audience instantly.
So pulling this all together, what does it mean for the broader art world? You said earlier he reshaped perceptions. Banksy really did spearhead a kind of cultural revolution, didn't he? Graffiti used to be seen as, you know, the scourge of the city, pure vandalism rather than expression. But around 2015, maybe earlier, we saw this drastic shift. Graffiti writers started being called graffiti artists. Now they're often praised, their work sometimes protected. It's a complete turnaround. How did that shift happen so rapidly? Was Banksy the primary catalyst?
He certainly was a major catalyst, I would argue. His ability to fuse art with critical but also accessible social commentary, and then to capture global media attention, that brought street art into the mainstream conversation in a way nothing else really had before. It absolutely blurred the lines between what was traditionally considered fine art and street art. Our sources mentioned, you know, pre-Raphaelite collectors now sit next to street art collectors in auction houses. That says a lot. The definition of high art itself is constantly evolving, and Banksy definitely accelerated that evolution. He proved that profound artistic statements don't need to be confined to galleries or traditional mediums.
And building on that legacy, on Banksy's legacy, we see artists like Bambi, often dubbed the female Banksy.
Yes, Bambi.
She maintains anonymity, similar to him, and has garnered these high-profile endorsements and commissions from people like Brad Pitt, Kanye West. Her work, like Banksy's, often alters iconic pop culture figures to translate relevant contemporary messages, like her piece, The Queen's Guard, a female royal guard holding a handbag. It's a subtle commentary on gender roles within tradition.
Bambi's success really exemplifies the collectability and the high-value street art now holds. She's capitalizing directly on the path Banksy paved, you could say. Her original pieces sell for tens of thousands of pounds. Rents still generate four-figure sums. It's clear proof that the market's appetite for this kind of art is robust and growing. And this truly reflects how the definition of art itself is constantly evolving, challenging your preconceived notions about where art belongs and what it can actually be.
What an incredible journey we've traced then. From a Bristol graffitist seeking anonymity mainly to avoid arrest, to a global art icon whose work reshapes public perception and commands millions, Banksy is, well, a true master of message, medium, and mystery.
Absolutely. His unique approach has this enduring impact, constantly challenging our assumptions about art, about ownership, about value itself. There's always more to learn, isn't there? And multiple perspectives and rich understanding. Banksy reminds us to look beyond the surface, to question what we see, even when it's presented as high art.
Indeed. Banksy forces us to ask, in this age of information overload, instant gratification, what truly defines art? Who gets to decide its value? And maybe the biggest question, can true rebellion ever truly be commodified? We really encourage you to look up some of his incredible works or explore the artists we've mentioned today.
Perhaps the real masterpiece isn't any single piece, but the entire evolving spectacle of Banksy himself and the ongoing, often contradictory conversation his work provokes in you.